Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi. I just want to make sure I have, Julie Cardacci, and we've been doing this before, right?
That's correct.
Good. Now, Celeste, again, pronounce it.
Carlucci.
Carlucci. Okay. CEO, founder of Fall Stop, Move Strong. And so Julie and I were on the air before. I'm sure you know that, Celeste, right?
Mm-hmm. I heard the tape, yes.
Good. So it's going to be very similar because it's a different audience.
Okay. Is it a different audience, are you saying?
Yes, it is a different audience.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be hearing it. Maybe one or two might overlap, but it's probably a different audience. So we'll be able to handle same questions and be fine with that. And because there's two of you, you'll generally hear me say Celeste, so, or Julie, so,
mm-hmm.
so you'll know who's going to answer, mm-hmm. okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, also, differently than the other one, we stopped, and we would chat in the middle and all that. This, I do my own commercial, so I just stop you guys and say, and now we're going to go to a commercial, and I do the commercial and go right back to you. Okay?
Okay.
And that's about it. Now, what about Toro College? Should I be talking about that again as we did last time?
If you wish, that would...
Oh, it's good.
If you wish, but this is more, I think, more about Fall Stop, but you could mention Toro.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. Okay, I'm ready to go. Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is the Travel and Leisure Arm of the Ronald Gelock Retirement Power Hour. And one of the things that we do every single Wednesday during drive time is we show you how to make money. But every single Saturday in the morning, we show you how to spend it. And one of the ways that you're going to want to spend your money is travel. 84% of everybody who is about to retire, according to the AARP survey, says that their number one goal after retirement is to travel. And their number two goal is to stay healthy when they travel. And we have a lot of information on healthy travel. So just take a look at our website, theagelesstraveler.com, theagelesstraveler.com, and you'll find everything that you need if you have a mobility issue or if you're traveling with an older parent that might have that, if you need to actually rent equipment the way that people do, if they go on group tours. But you can do that independently on that website. And also, of course, you'll hear healthy hints and tips, particularly if you're desiring to go to Machu Picchu. I hear Machu Picchu all the time. I've been there myself. And a lot of people have altitude issues. So we even have a video, YouTube video, that you can access from the Ageless Traveler. That'll help you get up those steps. But to really help you get up those steps and to really take the walks that you love in our beautiful area, in our beautiful listening area, you're going to want to be able to move, stay balanced, walk properly, and above all, never fall. And that's why I'm bringing to you today two women who really can help you move strong. They are the CEOs and founders of Fall Stop Move Strong. They've done a wonderful job in melding together all the skills of the occupational therapist and also the fitness coach all in one place. And they've created this foundation so that you won't fall. Now, let me introduce you first, and then we're going to have a little bit of a ping-pong match between Julie and Celeste to give you the hints and tips that you really need. And if you think you don't, wait till you hear some of the things they have to say. Julie Cardacci. She is an occupational therapist assistant department. She's the chair and program director of that department over at Touro College in New York City. And we have Celeste Carlucci, who's her co-founder of Full Stop and Move Strong. So, you know, one of the things I do want to mention, I'll say this again to you guys, is that we are doing a walk. It's a 90-mile walk in England on the Exeter Moors come May. Last year, we walked El Camino the Way. So for those of you who come to any of our Ronald Gelock seminars, if you are walkers, I'm going to introduce you to an organization called Free Walkers right in our area. It is free. It's a nonprofit foundation to get people walking. And when I started, I was able to barely do 3 miles. And now I'm ready to take on and have done 30 miles up to 50 miles in one day. And it keeps me strong. So I want to thank you, Julie and Celeste, for being here. And I'm going to start with you, Julie, because you've been on the air with me before. Just explain a little bit about Full Stop, Move Strong, and what people can access when they go to the website.
Thank you, Adrienne. Full Stop, Move Strong is a joyful dance and education-based fall prevention and strengthening program for older adults. And the website has... you can get video, a DVD of the exercise program and many other resources about being safe and staying on your feet and being active. Celeste and I started the program 12 years ago when she was teaching fitness to seniors, and these same problems kept coming up. It's hard for me to get up off the floor. My knees hurt. I'm worried about falling. I don't feel like my balance is as good as it used to be. And so we developed this program specifically to address those issues, to help people have the confidence that they need to get around and do what they need to do.
And Celeste, you know, if you know this area right now, you know that it's filled with snow. Not easy to get around at all, particularly the sidewalks of New York. And in our beautiful area, we have no sidewalks. We just have snowbanks on both sides. Mm. Any hints and tips for not falling in the snow?
I think that you have to move, obviously, cautiously and mindfully. And really, what I always suggest is planting your whole foot into the ground and really walking almost like a monster walk, where your feet are planting firmly the whole foot and your abdominals are held in very tight. And you're slightly leaning forward. And that's my suggestion. And one of the most important things is making sure that your hands are not in your pocket, because a lot of people walk with their hands in their pocket because it's cold. And if they need to brace themselves, they need their hands out so that they can, you know, put their hands down quickly if they need to.
So Julie, you know, one of the things that we didn't get a chance to talk about on my national show was shoes. Now, today we're probably wearing maybe better shoes just because of the snow, with no heels and maybe boots. But what is an appropriate shoe to not fall that also doesn't make us feel like we've had it when it comes to fashion?
Well, we used to work with a shoe-fitting specialist in our program, and he used to say, you have your go shoes and your show shoes. And unfortunately, the go shoes don't always look as pretty as we would like them to look, but they should have a flat heel with a good quality grippy sole, not so grippy that it trips you up, but you don't want to have that shoe sliding out from under you. It should support your foot, come up well over your instep so that you don't have to use your toes to hold on. You know, if you wear a slip-on shoe that's just comes up to the under your toes, there's nothing really holding it on your foot. So you do need to have a shoe that laces or velcros up over your instep and with a good solid sole. Sneakers can be good, but they're not always the best choice because the soles are very thick. And if you're not accustomed to wearing sneakers, they can trip you because your foot sort of sticks to the ground as you're taking a step because you're not accommodating for that extra thick sole. If you're ordinarily a sneaker wearer, then you should continue wearing sneakers. But there are plenty of shoes that have good, grippy soles that are not quite as thick as a sneaker. And for the people who are not regularly sneaker wearers, they can look into those sorts of shoes.
He also recommends that for people who have had strokes or have Parkinson's, that they can replace the forefront of their shoes with leather. Because a lot of times people that have had a stroke or have Parkinson's, have their, the tip of their foot is constantly getting caught in the floor or the rug. And so that's the Podortha's recommendation, is to replace the forefront of the shoe with leather so that the bottom of the tip doesn't get caught on the carpet.
That is new for me, and of course we do work with older adults generally, so that's really very important information. I also want to say too something that Celeste had said, and talked to her about this, and that was as follows. My mom, who is a great walker, even in her 90s, her early 90s, she would do about 4 miles in a day, and she always wore a heel. And one day I sent her to a wonderful trip to Alaska, and she was on a glacier. And she was wearing her heels. Now, they were big, chunky heels. But she never, ever did not wear that shoe. And if she put on sneakers, she would fall. Wasn't for her. Now I understand why, from what you're telling me. But one thing about my mother was that her posture was fantastic. And what Celeste mentioned was, when you walk, hold in your abs and push forward a little bit. What does posture have to do with? Is there a connection, Celeste, between posture and not falling?
I think it has a lot to do with it. I think that that's one of the things that, you know, I stress mostly in this, in, you know, that's one of the key components of balance. I was a professional dancer, and everything I learned about dancing, which is holding yourself upright, using your core muscles, you know, was applies so beautifully to working with older adults. Once you start to engage your core, then you're much more solid and stable. Everything then is aligned. You're standing upright. You're much, once you're leaning forward and you see people walking around with their heads pitched forward, and, you know, once they hit a little bit of a lip in the sidewalk, they totally lose their balance and fall over. The best thing to do is to stand upright, pull in your core muscles. And I know a lot of times people want to look down, but because they're afraid of, you know, what's coming. But the best thing to do is keep your head on top of your shoulders and scan in front of you. You can see what's in front of you without your head being down. Julie and I have an expression: is the more you're looking down, the closer you are to being down. So I think that that's a good cautious tale.
That's interesting, because I know that I do a lot of walking, as I said, and I do keep my head down. I'm very, very careful to be looking at the ground, you know, like Sisyphus, he never took his eyes up. But the thing is, I have a lot of friendly bugs that I can tell you exactly what they're doing. But the fact is that I will try that. I will, and there's a fear in me trying that. I'm afraid.
Right.
Why
don't you first try really engaging your abdominals when you're walking? Because I think that I've dealt with a lot of walkers, and it's a fabulous exercise, but they forget that their legs are getting all this work, but their core isn't getting that much work. So really engage those core muscles. That means pull in the abdominals, feel as if you're trying to take your belly button close to your spine, and hold on and try and walk that way. You'll get a lot stronger. You'll be surprised.
Yeah, that's a good idea. It's not easy because we use extra striders. We use poles. So our arms are getting a lot of exercise, and our legs, of course, are. And, you know, we do tend to be meditative. When you walk long distances, you go into a kind of meditation. It's a reverie. And so you forget. You forget what your body is doing. And all of a sudden, you're 3 miles ahead, which is what...
Right. I think using your core would be in addition to that mindfulness. And also, you might want to add in your walking. Although walking is wonderful, it doesn't necessarily decrease your risk for falls. You might want to add a couple of balancing exercises every once in a while. Stop every couple of miles, because you go on such long walks, and do a few balance exercises, standing on one foot, closing your eyes, trying that.
So what we're going to do, though, is we're going to take a little bit of a break, and I'm going to go back to Julie, because when I had interviewed her before on our national show, Generation Bold, by the way, the fountain of truth, you can find all about it at generationboldradio.com, and even though we're not heard in your listening area, you can listen to us on your app, on your computer, or even on your cell phone. So you can pick up the app if you take a look at Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. But when we were speaking, Julie and I, we talked about vision and issues with falls and vision. And we're going to do that when we come back in just a moment. So I do want to remind you that this is all part of the Ronald Gelock Retirement Power Hour. The people that come to see us have been extremely pleased because they've been able to put together a vision session with us where we actually envision their retirement. We see what it looks like. Now, as we said, every Wednesday, our drive time from 6 to 7, we will be talking about your money, Ron Gelock and I. But on this show, we try to emphasize something that has to do with your life, not your money. And when you come to see us, I think we're very unique in our approach to retirement planning because we start with the vision of what it may look like. We've discovered that the people in our area, when it comes to their retirement sessions, their biggest issue is what their goals are. They haven't really looked at their future in a way that's exciting, in a way that's mission-driven, a way that's legacy-driven. Yes, they're very concerned about their finances, their financial gaps, should they take Social Security and when, what can they do to create a private pension for themselves if they have no pension, will the pension be there? This is the state of New Jersey. Everybody's worried about that, even the private pensions. All these things we deal with, those are the financial planning part of your life. But we believe that your money is in service to your life. And so in addition to that, we also talk about what are the exciting things that you could do now that you could never have done in the past, and what can you do for others that you were never able to do in the past, and even how to say no. How to say no to certain family members that might be draining finances. We've had that. And how to say yes and when to say yes. So all of these things become very important in your retirement. They become magnified because you can no longer afford to continue to decumulate without thinking when you're not in the accumulation stage of your life, and we help you with all of that. How do you do that? Well, we can either have a conversation face-to-face in our area, in our listening area, or on the telephone, or come to one of our seminars. The number to call is 1-800-467-8152, 1-800-467-8152, and you can access us in all of these ways. If you want to call now, you can just leave a voicemail, but otherwise we are there starting Monday at regular business hours, 9 o'clock, 800-467-8152. And for those of you who just like to test the waters, go to ronaldgelockandassociates.com. That's G-E-L-O-K, ronaldgelockandassociates.com. And you can take a 12-session webinar course on retirement and retirement planning. And you'll love that. And you can also come and visit us February 16th at the Chester Library. At 7 p.m., we're going to have some refreshments, and we're going to talk about the four pillars of your retirement, which include pensions if you have them. Take them out if you have them. Not many people do. Social Security and the new law that just changed. If you didn't know it, you got to come February 16th. How to create a private pension for yourself and how to manage your 401ks and IRAs. So it's going to be a high old time. Same phone number to get your free registration, 800-467-8152. So we're going back to Celeste Carlucci and Julie Cardacci, CEOs and founders of Fall Stop, Move Strong. When we come back, we're going to ask Julie about the issues of vision. And also, Julie, tell us once again the website.
The website is www.fallstop.net. That's F for Frank, A-L-L-S-T-O-P, one word, .net.
And when we spoke last week, I mentioned, I thought that vision had as much to do with falls as anything else. And you did make the connection. So tell us a little about it.
Well, as we age, our eyes take longer to adjust when moving from brighter to darker environments. And at that moment, we can be momentarily blinded. You know, it's a beautiful sunny day today. And then you walk under the shadow of a building, your eyes are going to take longer because they're a little older to adjust to that change from bright to dark. And so we suggest that you give yourself a moment to let your eyes accommodate to the change before you keep walking. You don't know if there's an obstacle in front of you that you might not be able to see. We also recommend that if you get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and you turn on a light, that you give yourself a moment to let your eyes get adjusted to that change from dark to bright. One of the other things that happens as we age is that many of us need reading glasses, bifocals, progressive lenses. I'm a progressive lens wearer. And when you're, say, going down the subway steps or going down the stairs to the basement, sometimes when you look down, you're looking through the reading lens of your glasses, which can make the steps loom, and it can be hard to judge the distance of the step. And so we recommend either lifting your glasses so that you're not looking through the reading lens, or even taking them off. After a while, you sort of get used to seeing through the reading lens and you don't get that looming so much. But we don't want you to bend your head forward so that you're looking through the distance lens of your glasses, because that, as Celeste was saying before, that tips your balance forward, and if you trip, you're already halfway down because your head, which is heavy, is way in front of your feet and can upset your balance. One of the other things that happens... Right, and we also don't see contrast as well, like low contrast. So if the sidewalk and the gutter and the street are the same color, it can be very hard to judge the depth of that step. And as we talked about last week, we would love to see, you know, a nice brightly colored strip at the edge of each step so that people can see where the step ends.
That is so true, the lack of contrast. We do a lot of consulting because we're retirement specialists with actually venues like hotels and spas and so on that attract the older adult. And one of the major things we tell them is make a contrast on the steps, but that's not all. The bathroom. Bathroom, we know, is the most difficult part of the home to maneuver. More falls take place in the bathroom than any place else. And one of the problems with the bathroom is, particularly in hotels, particularly in not in your own home, is that they're white. And people will sit on the edge of a bathtub and think that the shower curtain is a wall. They won't realize it because everything is white. And they'll actually fall backwards. This happens a lot, and it's very, very dangerous. But Celeste, let's go to that kind of issue. Let's say you are falling. We have grab bars. Sometimes they're not properly put into the wall, but let's say we have a good grab bar, or let's say we're in the street. Is there a good way to fall where you might injure yourself less?
I think that Julie and I have discussed this over the years many times, and it's very tricky to talk about exactly how to fall. The circumstances are always different. Are you falling backwards? Are you falling to your side? I think generally from a dancer's perspective, and something that I've tried to impart on participants that take my classes, is that if you've done everything that you can to prevent yourself from falling, like you put out your foot, you try to grab for something, and you absolutely know in that split second that you're going down, relax. Just let your body go. I'd say tuck your head and just relax your body as best as possible, because the impact once you hit will be that much less. So I think really consider that. I try to enforce to people to visualize, if you are falling, that moment of just relaxing. Because if you watch a dancer dance and they go down to the floor, and obviously, you know, an older adult, the impact of, you know, hitting the ground is a lot different than someone who's in their 20s. But there is an agility, a relaxation, and I have to say that for many, many participants that have tried that in different situations, I just relaxed. I knew I was going to go down. Oops, I just hit my hip, and then I just got right up. It's so much better.
So let's stay with you for a moment. When you developed the moves or the exercises, what were you looking at to develop them, and is there a certain number? Are there 30 exercises that we could go through, or how does it work? How does the program work?
Well, it is a progression of targeted exercises to reduce your risk for falls, and I really isolate working on the core, hips, quadriceps, and ankle strength. And there's a progressive warm up. I think that there's maybe like 60 different exercises, but it's, you know, the program is in three levels. One is an introductory level, which is where we really break down the different exercises. We also do pre- and post-evaluations to see how at risk are you for a fall. And during those 12 weeks, we give a lot of education that Julie has designed beautifully. And once you've graduated from the introductory level, you go into the intermediate and the advanced. And once you get into the intermediate and advanced, I begin to start to introduce dancing, more functional movement. There's also a lot of work that I do that I incorporate. I simulate environmental hazards like sidewalks and steps. I do exercises like that are quick steps or quick turning, things that would put you, if you were out on the street or you were in your home and you had to act quickly, that you would have the instinctual reflexes. I teach one of the things I do is working your stop muscles. How to stop? What are those muscles and how do we activate them?
That's very, very significant, because when we deal with the older brain, we know that one of the things that happens is a little bit of a less coordination in the brain and the arms and legs. It takes a little bit longer to stop. Now, I will say, on behalf of all of us, that we have better crystallized intelligence, which in the vernacular is called wisdom, but there's other kinds of intelligences, and one of them is speed of changing focus. Is a little bit slower. It's a little bit harder to change your focus from one thought to another and from one physical activity to another. Yeah, multitasking, which maybe is better. But the fact is we have to, the secret of successful aging is awareness. That's all it really is. Just be aware of what's going on, accept it, and maintain. And love it, and love it. I want to go back to Julie for a second and talk about something that people don't love, and that's canes. Tell a little story. I had a wonderful day with one of my meditation buddies. We were all over New York City this week. And she is a hiker, but she took a cane with her. Now, I would never have done that. Why? Because I don't want people to think I'm walking around with a cane. Now, she did it because she just did not want to fall. That's easier for her. And I would never do that. That's an image thing. But let me ask you something, Julie. Are there canes that you recommend or don't recommend for people who may be at that stage?
Well, first of all, I will say about canes, we need to get over that image thing. Because a cane helps you, it gives you that extra point of balance, it gives you a little more confidence. If it's the difference between going out at all or going out and using a cane, I would rather you use a cane. Because I don't want you to lose the strength from not walking. As for recommending particular canes, I'm an occupational therapist, and that's a physical therapy specialty. The thing that I would say most above everything is that the cane should fit you properly. So you would want to see a physical therapist to make sure it's the right height and that you know how to use it. We had a married couple in one of our classes who were sharing a cane that belonged to a relative and they found in the cupboard. But he was 6'5" and she was 5'2". Oh. And so there was no way that the cane could fit either of them. It was way too tall for her, way too low for him. Right. So if a cane makes the difference between someone going out and doing their life or not, then I would say use a cane. And also, as Celeste often says, it alerts people around you. If you've got a cane, then maybe people will be a tiny bit more careful, maybe not bump into you or brush past you and tip you off balance. Not always, but it may.
Yeah, I think that those are wonderful points. And I must say, everybody knows my vast amount of narcissism and vanity. All of my listeners know. And I always admit it. And I admit it so that you can do what I say, not what I do. And it's absolutely true. She was running around the town, and I was holding on to the banisters in the subway like for dear life. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
On to the banisters. Yeah. We would also say hold on to the banisters.
Hold on.
That's what they're there for. But if you find that you need to hold on to the wall, hold on to the furniture, you're like crawling from one piece of furniture to the other in your home, then you really need to get evaluated for a cane. Because when you're reaching for that chair or that table or whatever to keep your balance, you're A, putting your balance off, and B, you could lean on an unstable piece of furniture and then fall. So canes are our friends.
So I'm going to take a very, very short break. I just want to give everybody our phone number again. Remember that this is the Travel and Leisure Arm of the Ronald Gielack Retirement Power Hour. Please do listen to us every single Wednesday on this very station from 6 to 7 drive time, where we cover the waterfront of what's going on with the stock markets, with the insurance markets, with housing, and, of course, with your own legacy, taxes. We had a wonderful session with our congressman, our assemblyman, to tell you what's going on in Trenton. So there's a lot coming up on our shows, and there is a lot to learn. For those of you who want to extend your relationship with us, simply go to ronaldgielackandassociates.com. That's G-E-L-O-K. Take our 12-session course on retirement planning. It's absolutely free. Download a free copy of our latest book, Fear Factor, False Evidence Affecting Your Retirement. And you'll start to get in shape. You get not only the kind of shape that Julie and Celeste are talking about, but in financial shape. Come visit us at the library February 16th, Chester Library, beautiful town, at 7 p.m. for refreshments and a discussion of the four pillars of your retirement: Social Security, pension if you got them, IRAs, 401ks, and, of course, the private pensions that we help you develop on your own. So to get your free consultation with us or a discussion on the phone or go to one of our live events, 800-467-8152, 800-467-8152. And we've been speaking with Celeste Carlucci, Julie Cardacci. Julie is the Chair and Program Director, Occupational Therapy Assistant Department at Touro College. But they both are the founders of Fall Stop, Move Strong, a wonderful program so that you don't fall. And I think with all the pulling in of the abs, maybe you'll even look better, which, of course, is the most important thing. So thank you, Julie and Celeste. Thank you for being on our show today.
Thank you so
much.
Thank
you for having us.
Right, and you know what I always say every single week, and it's kind of in keeping with what Julie said about the cane. Don't be home. Get out there, kids, and make it happen. Okay, thank you very much. That was terrific.
Okay. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
You. Very good. So I can't hang up because I'm going on to my next part of my show, but you can. So thanks. We'll talk again.
Okay, bye, Adrian. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello?
Yes, I'm right here. I'll be with you one second.
Oh, you're there. Oh, okay. Just wanted to know if we were connected. We are.
Anne, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi. So let's talk for a couple of minutes, and then we'll be on the show, okay?
Okay, fine.
Good. So first of all, thank you for being with us. It's wonderful. So I'm not very good in my Italian. Tempo fuori del tempo? Is that good enough?
Yes, that's
okay,
good enough.
Okay, that's good for Brooklyn, is it?
No.
Yeah, well, you know, that kind of show, what can I tell you? Look, if you can do a Christmas jazz opera, I could go. I could pronounce it that way, right? And so we're going to talk about your background, right?
Okay.
But what I'd like to know is the Aviva Players still on? Is the story still going on right now? At the Opera Center? Yeah.
No, actually, it was a three-concert series that ended with the concert that that I did that with Mira Spector, the That Certain Age, which was a concert about aging with grace and humor.
Right.
That was the third of those concerts. And both Aviva Players and my company, Kindred Spirits, produced that concert. And I will be doing a lot more. We both will separately and perhaps together again.
Okay, so what I wanted to know, is there anything that we want to plug? That's really what I'm asking you. Anything coming up? Any place in the country, because it's a national show.
Yeah. Golly, everything was going on in December. And coming up right away, there's plans for next year. And, of course, we'll be doing the Jazz Nativity again. And that's
okay.
That's done in many cities, about four or five cities.
Good, good, good. All right. So, and will there be a website that you'll be able to give for people to go to?
Yes.
Good. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to ask you to do that a couple of times, right? And the way we're going to do this is you're going to hear music. I'm going to introduce the show. And I'm going to say a few words that don't have anything to do with our discussion. And then we're going to, I'll introduce you, and we'll start basically with your background, but it'll go from there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at some point in about, what, Stuart, 12 minutes? What's,
11 minutes.
About 11 minutes, so about 10 minutes, I will stop you so that I can wrap up the first segment, go to commercials, which you will not hear. And you and I will be able to talk during the commercial.
Okay.
And set up the second segment. Okay?
Okay.
Now, and last but not least, other than what you're doing and how you're doing it, is there any particular point that you would like me to bring out?
Well, part of it is going with change. Because I have been in the music business. I'm a very fortunate woman. I have made my living in what I love to do, as a singer and now as a writer as well, and still a singer. And I'm 80, you know. I keep going. And I've gone with the changes in the music world, for one thing. But I've been very fortunate to be in the business at a time when it was wonderful.
Okay, very good. You'll hear how I'm going to position that, all right?
Okay, good.
Fine. Stuart, I'm ready. Right. So we're going to be silent, then you're going to hear music, and I'll start the show.
In the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair.
On his head and not his shoulders, and hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg. This is Generation Bold, the fountain of truth. The fountain of truth about what? About that word that dare not speak its name, that word aging. And we have one mission here. To make sure you have a kick, you know what, old age. And enjoy it. Look forward to it. And when should you start looking forward to old age? I'd say about 30. Yep. Because why? Biologically, we begin to age, actually, around age 30. And people, if you're lucky, you'll be aging and aging and aging for decades and decades and decades to come. And it should be something that we look forward to because it can be the greatest stage. Now, before I introduce my guest, I have to tell you that I'm very excited and very curious about an event that's taking place next week that I will be reporting on for you the week after, and that is the Immortality Conference. Oh, yeah, we've come to that, my friends. It's in New York City. It's kind of like TED Talks among the philosophers of longevity, like Aubrey de Grey, who truly believes that we can become immortal, and he's an immortalist. Now there's such a thing as an immortalist, right? They were communists and capitalists and socialists, and now they're immortalists. People like John Mulpey, who believe we're living too long already. And I can't wait to see these guys duke it out. This is going to be a hoot for me. And I really was privilege to be invited to this thing. But I'll put my two cents in, and I'll let you know what's going on. So, and this is the center point of aging. Now, I want to take a leap here for our first guest on our show, because the real issue here is not so much immortalism. It's how do you live successfully in the years that you have? That's really our centerpiece. And Anne Phillips, composer of Making Plots and Tempo Fuori del Tempo, she's going to start to laugh at my Brooklyn Italian, has one mission in mind for this show, to let you know that resourcefulness and flexibility and willingness to change is what gets you through and makes you a success, and she certainly is a success. She's a singer and a composer. I'm going to give you tidbits of her career. You know, she began playing piano, singing in clubs, but with writers like Burt Bacharach, Carole King, Neil Diamond, she's worked as a singer, an arranger. She's now a composer. She's going to tell you some of the things that are coming up throughout the country that she is behind. A children's musical like The Great Grey Ghost of Old Spook Lane. Again, happy just saying it, and her very famous Christmas jazz opera, Bending Towards the Light, a Jazz Nativity. So, thank you so much, Anne, for being with us. It's really a pleasure to talk to somebody who's really a great artist.
Oh, my goodness, thank you so much. What a lovely introduction.
Well, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the fact that you did participate in a series of operas about aging. And I don't know that there is any other series of operas about aging. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it all began with a man named Bob Benjamin, who is a retired rocket scientist from Los Alamos, New Mexico.
Of course
and
it would.
Of course.
Where else would operas on aging start with a rocket scientist?
Well, when he retired, he started doing what he really loves, which is write plays. And one of them was called Salt and Pepper. And a friend of mine, I'm the director of the Jazz Nativity, who lives in Santa Fe, suggested we get together. And he sent me the script, which was a series of short plays. And he said, could you turn one of those into an opera? Well, of course, I read them, and they were funny, but they had such insight and depth to them, too, that everyone was wonderful. And I chose one called Plots, P-L-O-T-S.
Yes, you see, in my Brooklyn, it would be Plot, P-L-O-T-Z, but that's a different story. Okay, go ahead.
Well, the interesting thing is that this was, yes, indeed, about a cemetery plot, because it's about a man taking his new bride to the gravesite of his deceased wife, which sounds like a downer.
I would tell you something. I'm married 45 years, but if I ever dated somebody, that's probably where they would take me. That would be my luck. Let's go down for a little Prosecco and the cemetery. So, so it sounds intriguing already. Go ahead.
Well, it's very funny because, you know, they get there, and then suddenly she says, wait a minute, what's that name beneath hers? That's your name. You mean you're going to be buried next to her? And it goes from there, you know, when he says, just my bones, and she says, well, where are my bones? You know, and it's so funny. But it also has a depth to it because it brings to mind something that people don't want to talk about or think about. And so much of his work does that. The second one, Making Plots, is about an elderly woman on a park bench and a videographer who wants her to move so he can make his film. And she says wonderful things, talking about Grand Illusion, which she's a former actress and singer herself, and she talks about the sweet anecdote to a culture that worships the immature but disdains the precious wisdom of the chronologically gifted.
Yes, the chronologically gifted, yes.
It's wonderful. And so these operas, and then I had written before Tempo Fuori del Tempo, and that really was the librettist for that calls herself the accidental librettist, Marilyn Murphy, who was going to Italy and was seated by this lovely, dashing young Italian. and yes. She decided she wanted to turn 50 in Italy. So, and what went on from there is part of the opera. And it's curious how I got into it, but I have found it absolutely intriguing. And the first time Plotz was performed was Mira Spector, who has Aviva Players, was looking and came in through on the web on my email looking for a short opera for a concert that last December. And it was part of that. So out of that came the idea to do a concert that was based on aging with Aviva Players.
It's still the only one around. I just want to give everybody the information because it wound up, but I have a good feeling that this is all coming back in different parts of the country. The Aviva Players, you should take a look at what they've been doing for 40 years, and their three-part series, which was held in Manhattan at the National Opera America Center, was called That Certain Age, short operas about aging with humor and grace. And Ann Phillips, composer of Making Plots, and Tempo Fuori del Tempo, and many other things, was all part of that. But you're doing some other things. Now, one of the things that's recurring, I think, with you is the jazz nativity. Will that take place again in 2016?
Oh, yes. Yes, it will. And actually, this year, this past December, was the first year it was a co-production with an opera company, Chelsea Opera. And because the program really is a jazz opera. It is all sung, but there's opera singers in it, and they're jazz singers and jazz musicians, wonderful ones. The people that have been in it through the years are Dave Brubeck, Lionel Hampton, Tito Puente, Clark Terry. The list is endless. And it really is the Christmas story told through the medium of jazz.
And I'm a huge jazz fan, I have to tell you. I don't just say it. This is something and I don't have a jazz fan husband, so I have to sneak into bars. I mean, I meet a lot of people that way, I have to tell you. But anyway, yeah.
We'll have to go out together sometime.
No joke. Is there a website that people could go to follow your work?
Yes. The easiest is to go to annphillips.com.
So I'm going to spell that for you guys. It's Annephillips.
IPS.
So Ann is two N's and an E. PHILLIPS.com.
Right.
All right. We're going to take a little bit of a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the issue of flexibility. One of the things that I didn't tell any of you guys listening is how old Ann is, and she gave me the permission, because I wanted you to do voice aging. See, because I've been on the radio for so many decades, I tend to know people's ages by their voice, and I'm very good at it. And I would never, ever, ever have known Ann's age. And I'm not going to tell you until we come back. And when I do, she's going to reveal her secrets of resources and flexibility, because no artist has had an easy time. You know, my daughter graduated from Tisch, and the saying there is, I am in the theater, and I am your waiter. So I'll tell you, it's a hard life, not easy. But we come back and talk about that. We're going to give you a little bit of hint and tip about the election coming up. I'm being presidential, don't go away.
I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay.
Hi. Whose song is that? That's very funny.
That song is I'll introduce when I come back. It's a 10-minute musical that was written for us. It's a full 10 minutes. And it was written by a composer, by a Broadway composer, a young man. And I won him in an auction. And I will,
wonderful.
Yeah, I will tell people about it so you'll hear all about it, because I'm going to send it to my website anyway in a moment. Okay, so
one thing,
yeah, go ahead. And yes,
I would say one thing I want to be sure to mention is the Aviva Players founder, Mira Spector, has a film that has been selected as a chamber opera film that's been selected for the Winter Film Awards Independent Film Festival, and it's going to be playing at this Cinema Village on February 20th.
Oh.
So I should mention that, okay, because that is an upcoming
film. But I will. I would love to attend that.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm on the West Coast, but I will. I don't know how long the festival goes. But
I don't
I'll
either. All I know is that on the 4:30 on Saturday afternoon, February 20th, and it's a really interesting opera. I've seen. It's an opera film, and it's about Mary Shelley, who created
Frankenstein. Yeah, it's the kind of thing I'd love to see, but I'm going to be in the.
Yeah.
In the cultural heaven of L.A.
Yeah,
so anyway.
We can let the world know about it anyhow, or New York.
We will, definitely. All right, I'm ready to come back, Stu.
Okay. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit. I am happy, and I freely admit
I'm inappropriate for my age.
For my age. Da, da, da.
And this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the fountain of truth about aging. And our great guest, Ann Phillips, composer, singer, and one of the most fun people I think we've had on the show. She commented on the song, and I just want to remind everybody that this is a 10-minute musical that was written for us. It has grandma in it. It has the wife in it. It has the husband in it. It's entitled, has a plot. And you can hear the whole thing on our website, generationboldradio.com, right up there on the homepage, generationboldradio.com. It is adorable. And the way I have had this created for us was that I won it. I'm a great musical comedy fan, and I am a patron of NYMPH, the New York Musical Film Festival. And during their gala to raise money, they always have an auction. And one of the things they auctioned off was this gentleman's talents. And he would write a 10-minute musical on any topic he wanted. And boy, was he disappointed when I told him to write about aging, because he was about 34 years old. And he said, "What do I know?" And I said, "Well, figure it out." And he did, and it's great. It's funny, and you should really listen to the whole thing. So I want to get back to one mention I had made before the end of the segment, and that was about not politics, but your own voting, because we are not political here, but this is a hugely political time. All the debates have been going on. Of course, people are soon going to all have to make their primary decisions. What we have done on GenerationBoldRadio.com is giving you a report on the Washington Conference on Aging. I did attend. I think I was only one of two radio commentators asked to attend. The other was, of course, the great people over at PBS. I saw what was happening in terms of the four biggest issues that have to do with aging, which, of course, is your Social Security, Medicare, number one for almost every American. The second thing, of course, is elder abuse. Elder abuse is not a federal crime, and it may become one because it is rampant, including financial abuse. The other is transportation, simply getting around in this country. Your ability to be mobile is a constitutional right, but at what point? If transportation isn't working for us nationally, is our constitutional right of mobility being infringed? And last, and for many, many people, I hope not the people listening, not least, is hunger insecurity, called food insecurity. We do have people in this country who are over a certain age that simply are hungry. And many of those people are actually taking care of grandchildren, who are also hungry. So those are the four big issues that are extremely age-related, and we have some information on that. You may want to take a look at it and then take a look and see if the person that you plan to vote for, where do they stand on those issues. So that is GenerationBoldRadio.com. Now let's go back to some fun stuff with Ann Phillips. First of all, Ann is going to let us know about a wonderful concert that's coming up, and there's a film festival that Mira Spector is involved with. She'll tell you all about that. And then we're going to do the big reveal about how she can sound so young. But, Anne, first, let's give Mira her due. Tell us about what's going on there.
Well, she wrote an opera, a chamber opera, called Villa Diodati, which is about Mary Shelley, who wrote Frankenstein. And it's music by Mira Spector and lyrics by Colette Inez and Byron and Shelley. And it's in the Winter Film Awards Independent Film Festival and will be playing on Saturday afternoon, February 20th at 4:30 p.m. at Cinema Village and downtown in New York.
Yeah, I think that's on 13th Street. I'm not swearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's 22 East 13th, right.
See?
And I've seen it, and it's absolutely wonderful, just beautiful. And,
well, you could take the girl out of New York, but you just can't take New York out of the girl in a while.
Right. Did you ever hear your Do You Miss New York by Dave Frischberg?
No,
there's a wonderful line
do.
In there. Oh, you must hear it. You would just love it. And it was right after he moved to L.A. And he said, one of the lines is, did I give it all up for a couple of parking places?
You know, fantastic. I have to say, and we're digressing here, but life is a digression. My two kids moved to L.A., which was an incredible betrayal. Because there's no place, because there's no place in the world that I don't like living. I have been in hell holes and thought about retiring there. But I can't, but L.A., I just cannot, I can't get my mind around it.
Yeah.
But while this wonderful festival is going on in New York, I will be, guess where, in L.A. Yeah, but I have to admit to everybody, it's because I have to go to Napa to do a presentation on something called Beyond Wealth. And it's a wonderful conference of rich people, basically, who think that their life isn't enough and they want to go beyond wealth, which is a perfect segue back to Anne Phillips. Because when we go to what's real and what's important, we can get a little bit of a wisdom from Anne. And I mentioned her resourcefulness, her ability to change, and I would have pegged your age maybe about 45. I would
Wonderful.
The only reason I would give you maybe 50 is the resume. You know, you can't do all that you've done in, say, 45, 50 years. But how old are you, and why do you sound so young?
Well, I turned 80 last February, which means this coming one will be one more. One of the reasons, I think, my voice sounds young. You said you could peg by a voice.
Yes.
Is that... I don't teach full-time, never have, never planned to at all. It sort of came about when I got hired by NYU to teach in the jazz department. And I had a wonderful teacher, Nancy Soren, who gave me this whole system. She taught me, and I kind of brought her into the jazz world. It was very interesting. But nevertheless, these exercises keep your voice warmed up. And I just got back from Ketchikan, Alaska, where I do a two-week workshop up there with townspeople. It's not university. And I've been going up there for 18 years every January, where it is 45 degrees and rainy while you have 2 feet of snow here in New York, and have an absolutely wonderful time working with people that some have never sung before, some used to sing, some are good singers, but doing a concert at the end with some wonderful musicians that come from up from New York for it, too. And it's a delight, and I have a few students here. So I keep warmed up with these wonderful exercises all the time.
And a wonderful life. And we're at the end of our segment. I can't believe it. I'm looking at a mask of an eagle right now from Ketchikan. So we're really on the same planet here, you and I. And, so I thank you so much. We've been speaking with Anne Phillips. That's annephillips.com, so you'll know where she's going. And I would follow her if I were you, because she's got a lot going on all over the country, as you can see, from New York to Ketchikan. And for us, I'd like you to stay tuned, because we're going to come back in just a moment. with, don't let him take the keys away. Keep driving. We'll show you how. Don't go anywhere. You can really change your life.
For my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay. That was fantastic. I love it.
Thank you.
And we have fun.
Well, I will tell you that I feel like the luckiest woman in the world because I have been in New York since the late 50s, and
right.
I have gone through all of the change that there has been, you know. There used to
right.
be pianos in every restaurant I could work, you know, and
right,
demos
right, right.
for songwriters, all and television before tape. I'll tell you, I would love to come back if you would have me sometime before the Jazz Nativity next December.
Well, first of all, we have another show. Yeah, we have another show. We have a show that is New York, New Jersey. That's
mm-hmm.
you're just on our national show.
Right.
And I would definitely want to do that even before
Great.
Then because that show is not a show about aging. That show is about travel and leisure.
Mm-hmm.
And so on that show, we generally have our a talk only about entertainment.
Oh, great.
So
that would be just wonderful.
That's the one, and that's the one where the listening audience can get there, you know, they can get there very
yes.
easily.
Yeah,
so
yes.
That,
the
that's
line
really
was around the block this year to
yeah.
see it.
Well, fantastic. I mean, it's just
yeah.
wonderful. And we will do that. I'll tell the producer. And, yeah, do you live in New York, in the city now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm just a couple blocks from Lincoln Center.
See,
lucky
that's
me.
My whole problem. And then one day I will sit down and talk to you about it. I have a place across from Lincoln Center in that Harmony where they have the atrium.
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah.
You know that building, right?
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
oh,
but
yeah.
I don't live there. And so it's always this big thing of do we move from where we are and get back into the city or not. So it's
where
hard.
Whereabouts are you?
In New Jersey, but in real
oh, you're
rural.
In New Jersey.
Yeah, but very rural.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
beautiful.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. It's just...
Yeah.
Schlep into the city every day.
I
all
couldn't
right.
do it anymore. I was out there for a long time. I couldn't do it. And I like being my age and being right smack in
right
the middle
here.
Of New
yeah,
York.
I get that. I get that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I shall talk to you more. I really would like to. Stuart, do you have Anne's phone number or did everything go through a PR person?
When?
You know what? Let's just put it on here. I'm going to give you back to Stuart because I'm going on to my next.
Okay.
Yes.
And
okay, very, this, very good.
When will
Hold
this
on.
Be on? When will this
okay.
be on?
Okay, so this, first give me the number and then.
212.
212.
580.
580.
2349.
2349. And
mm-hmm.
do you have an email address?
Yeah,
A-N-N-E.
P.
P.
14.
14.
14. At Gmail.
At Gmail. So that's np1414 at
yeah.
Gmail.
Yeah.
All right. So this show is on this Sunday, right, Stu?
Oh.
Yeah. So this is
oh,
on
this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah.
Oh,
from,
good.
Yeah. So it's Eastern time, 10
mm-hmm.
to 11. However, you won't hear
mm-hmm.
it in our area. It's the other show. But you can hear it online at Generation Bold
mm-hmm.
Radio. .com when we put it in the archives about the middle of the week. And there
mm-hmm.
is actually an app, a phone app,
mm-hmm.
where you can hear it live. Which
okay.
is biz, where you could hear it live. So let me just give
yeah.
that to you. And you can do it on your phone even. BIZTALK.
Uh-huh.
Biz
Talk oh, right.
Radio.
Yeah.
.com.
Okay.
And they'll, if you go there, you'll see an app and how to get on the app. But you know what, Stu? I think on Generation Bold Radio, we also tell them, there's a link to, we tell them the app on that one, too. Yeah. I think that if you go to generationboldradio.com,
mm-hmm.
they'll,
mm-hmm.
it'll be how to listen. You'll see a tab there that says how to listen.
Right.
And that's it. Okay.
So they'll be able to hear it. My friends in Ketchikan will be able to hear it, too.
Oh, sure. If you send
yeah.
it to that, they surely
yeah.
would be
yeah.
able to
and,
hear it.
Right.
But
right.
Not on our website, but on the app that you'll see
the
on
app.
The website. They have to set
yeah.
it up.
Okay. And how about in New York?
Anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world.
I mean, they could. Yeah.
That.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Okay. terrific.
And there is a list of 34 stations that you can actually turn on the station. But I don't know if you have friends there, but that's on the website, too.
Right. Okay, terrific.
Very good.
Really enjoyable. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll talk.
Okay. Hey.
Right.
Bye-bye.